Hi everybody, this is Juan Hernandez. If you want to break out of the gate fast like I do every morning, do what I do. Have a cup of Uncle Kimo's Kona coffee. Uncle Kimo's, you'll be glad you did.
Hi, Bill Coyne of South Bay Toyota. Whether you shop online at southbaytoyota.com or in person, we'll make it easy for you to save time and money. South Bay Toyota is located just off the 405 freeway at Western Avenue where Torrance and Gardena meet. South Bay Toyota.
It's another huge weekend of nighttime racing action at Los Alamitos. Get ready to cash in on night racing's best bets all weekend long, featuring our popular early and late pick four wagers and the traditional pick six. And remember, we'll add $10,000 of new money to the pick six pool this Sunday night if there isn't a carryover. The pick six promotional pools often reach the $70,000 mark. Our pick six pools have hit historic figures this season, including a record $700,000 total pool on June 7th. And racing fans, make your plans now to join us for more stakes racing action this month. The Claiming Futurity on August 16th, the Sgt. Pepper feature on August 22nd, and the Grade 1 Go Man Go on August 23rd. It's great quarter horse racing action every weekend at Los Alamitos. For Vessels Club reservations, call 714-820-2681. Or join us at Burgart Sports Bar. The best of racing is always at Los Alamitos. Our races start shortly after the final race from Del Mar.
Owners and breeders, take advantage of new cowbred incentive programs from the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. Starting in 2026, the Santa Anita Winter Meet will offer increased owners premiums of $12,500 for all winners of open, restricted, and cowbred maiden special weight races. For the 2026 Del Mar Summer Meet, that incentive bonus is $15,000. The 2026 Fall Del Mar Meet will offer a $12,500 bonus, and the 2026 Los Alamitos Thoroughbred Meets will offer a $10,000 bonus. Owners of mares bred in 2026 will be awarded $1,000 for each 2027 foal registered as a cowbred, up to 25 foals per breeder. CTA members will have the $100 foal registration fee waived for cowbreds foaled in 2025, 26, and 27. Travel reimbursements are also available for brood mares purchased out of state when they produce a cowbred foal. It pays to own, breed, and race in California.
Hey everybody, if you love pizza, and who doesn't, I've got the place for you. It's Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne at the southwest corner of Foothill Boulevard and D Street next to Stater Brothers. They've got freshly baked, delicious pizza at the best prices you'll find anywhere. Speaking of pricing, check out their hot and ready menu, which includes hot and ready Caesar wings, whole pizza, by the slice, crazy bread, Italian cheese bread, save a taco, eat a pizza at Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne. Folks, life is about family, friends, and the unforgettable experiences we enjoy together. If you are considering the Hawaiian Islands for that special vacation, a wedding, or perhaps a corporate outing, visit HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com and you can see for yourself what this tremendous new venue located on the island of Hawaii has to offer. When you settle in at the Halualoha Garden and Kitchen, the breathtaking view of the Kona Coast adds a touch of enchantment far, far removed from the everyday stresses and strains of life on the mainland. Nestled on the slopes of the majestic Halu'aloha volcano, this venue offers guests a remarkable combination of Polynesian dining along with striking natural beauty and world-renowned island charm. With a top-notch chef and a fresh farm-to-kitchen approach, you'll experience island dining that is truly out of this world. Visit our website, HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com, or call 307-461-1450 for complete details, and get ready for the experience of a lifetime at Halualoha Garden and Kitchen. Hey everybody, if you've got plumbing needs, commercial or residential, give my good friends at Western Rooter a call. Family owned and here to help, Western Rooter does it all and does it better 24/7. From clogged drains to complete copper repipes to water heaters, conventional and tankless, Western Rooter is here to help and will solve whatever issues you may have on time and under budget. Western Rooter, serving the Arcadia, Pasadena, and greater LA area for more than three decades. Call now at 626-448-6455, mention Thoroughbred LA Radio, and save 10% off your total invoice. Western Rooter, the best in the West.
The South Point Hotel Casino is a must visit on your next trip to Las Vegas.
Racebook manager Steve Johnson invites you to the only racebook in Las Vegas separate from the sports book. With 11 restaurants, the South Point Hotel has something for everyone. From Michael's to Baja Miguel's, enjoy a wide variety of options for every price range. The 400-foot showroom makes for an intimate experience, enjoying live music, comedy, and an 1,100-square-foot dance floor. And the South Point is the only location in Las Vegas with Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup viewing parties. Come out and try the horse player-friendly South Point Hotel Casino. For reservations, contact Steve Johnson at 866-780-7223 or log on to southpointcasino.com and see why the South Point Hotel Casino has been a local favorite for decades. See you at the South Point Hotel Casino. Attention Inland Empire racing fans. Watching and wagering on the races just got easier. The Derby Room located at Fairplex Park is open and ready to serve you. Watch and wager in the newly renovated Derby Room on races across the country starting at 9 a.m. each Wednesday through Sunday. Televisions throughout the Derby Room will keep you up to date on all sporting events. Add in great food and a great atmosphere and you'll have the ultimate horse player experience. For upcoming promotions, go to thederbyroom.com. Thederbyroom.com. See you at the Derby Room, 2201 North White Avenue in Pomona.
There they go. O'Hara lost the rider. Native Diver is going to the front. Gamely and Rising Market nose and nose. And Gamely is the winner by a nose rising.
Victory has the weight advantage. Farm Away has the class. Which one's going to win it? Farm Away, Marquetry, Farm Away.
It's Thoroughbred Los Angeles, hosted by Mike Willman. Thoroughbred Los Angeles is brought to you by Los Alamitos Racecourse. Come join us for top-class daytime thoroughbred action and nighttime quarter horse racing through December 14th. By Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee. Take it from top jock Juan Hernandez. Uncle Chemo's, you'll be glad you did. By David Wilson's Toyota of Orange, South Bay Toyota, and Villa Ford of Orange. Come see their great selection of new and used vehicles and experience David Wilson's world-class customer service. By Pete and Evelyn Perella's Legacy Ranch, where stands multiple graded stakes winner Forbidden Kingdom, perennial top stallion clubhouse ride, stakes producing Om and Tamarando. By the luxurious Halu Aloha Garden and Kitchen overlooking the majestic Kona Coast on the island of Hawaii. Visit HaluAlohaGardenAndKitchen.com and make your reservations now for the event of a lifetime. By Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne. Doug says, save a taco, eat a pizza. By the Ragas and Cheats. Get past the obvious and get the information you need to win. Get the Ragas and Cheats. By the Derby Room at Fairplex Park. Great food, great customer service, along with free parking and admission at the Derby Room. By the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. It pays to own and breed in California. By Bruce Finkelstein's BetOnBruce.com. By the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Las Vegas. Call Steve Johnson and make your reservations now at 866-780-RACE. And by Western Rooter, the best in the West. Now, here's Mike Willman.
Thank you, Dan Jurzen. A very pleasant good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hitting the midway point of the Del Mar season. This is a two-hour edition of Thoroughbred Los Angeles. So much to talk about. Today, a massive announcement on Monday from Churchill Downs Incorporated and NYRA announcing a big six-race series next year starting with the Kentucky Derby. This six-race series will not include the middle jewel in the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes. It caught everybody in racing off guard, certainly very much including the Maryland Jockey Club, who had a press release all teed up for Wednesday in which they announced they were going to be moving the Preakness back 8 days from a traditional Saturday point 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby. It is now scheduled for Sunday, May 23rd, 2027. That said, this six-race series with a $5 million bonus to the points winner does not include the Preakness. We're going to be talking a lot about that in hour two and a little bit with Jonathan Hardoon. The biggest story in racing yesterday, without question, the reigning horse of the year, Sovereignty. He put it all together in his third start as a four-year-old yesterday in the Grade One Whitney. Anybody who saw that race, you won't soon forget it. Well off the pace, and it was a slow early pace. Junior Alvarado riding with supreme confidence, and a big 4 1/4 length victory in yesterday's Grade 1 Whitney. A lot to talk about. Let's get back to Saratoga Springs and say hello to Jonathan Hardoon on behalf of the Ragas and Sheets. Hey, John, good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. First of all, hats off, in my opinion, to the Connections. Godolphin, they are the owner breeders of Sovereignty. I mean, the financial enticements to go to stud after winning the Derby, the Travers, and your Horse of the Year are massive. They said, no, we're going to go ahead and run as a four-year-old. And what does he do? He gets beat in his first two starts this year at odds on. First of all, in the Oaklawn Handicap, then in the Stephen Foster. But as I said, he put it all together yesterday, and he beat the three horses that have beaten him this year, they being Magnitude, Baeza, and White Abario. A tremendous effort.
It really was, Mike. And if you're watching the race down the backside, it looked like he was going backwards. I honestly, for a split second, said, oh, my God, he's going to be east.
And all of a sudden, I think a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it certainly looked like, but he kicked it in, and boy, did he run well, and congratulations to the team. Listen, he had a legitimate excuse last time out. I don't think he liked the track at Churchill. The track was off that day. He was running in spots, but boy, mm-hmm. he put it all together yesterday, and the sad news out of the race is Baeza. I think it's become like a mental thing with this horse. He can't get out of the gate.
No.
And these caliber horses, Mike, you can't be spotting them 3, 4, 5 lengths at the start.
Can't
you
do
can't
it.
You can't overcome it. I don't care how good you are. I mean, you know, and no excuse. You just walked, and they were working with him. They were putting these foam things in the starting gate to help him get out of it, and supposedly it was working well. You know, it's just surprising. It's a new thing. He never did this when John Sheriff's trained him. It just happened this year. His first start back, if you remember, the assistant starter was holding him at the break. He actually should have been declared a non-starter that day, in all fairness.
That was in the Alashiba on Kentucky Oaks Day.
Right. And then the next two races, he just, you know, this is just a new thing, and it's not a good thing. And I'm sure Mott must be pulling his hair out of his head, because nothing more frustrating.
Right.
You got a terrific horse and you just can't figure it out. But I'm sure he will.
And along with that, the tremendous performance by the winner, Sovereignty, the Philly Nitrogen, handled for the first time by Johnny Velasquez. What a massive effort on the lead yesterday, John. A huge second.
Yeah, and he had to shock the heck out of Magnitude, because everyone expected Magnitude to be on a loose, lonely lead.
Yeah.
But Johnny V took it to him from the get-go, and she got hurt in the race. I heard she grabbed a quarter or something.
Really?
She came back gushing blood and everything else.
Oh, no.
But thank God she's fine today, according to Cassie, the trainer. But, you know, she went through some problems in the race, and she still ran super. So a terrific effort. Magnitude, obviously, a disappointment. He just didn't show up yesterday.
I know. And John, Todd Pletcher, he waited till the 14th and final race with Versailles Road to get it done. He got his 6,000th win. And once again, you could see the relief in Todd after the race. There's an old adage, a watched pot seldom boils. You know, everybody's sitting on this milestone. Is it going to happen? You know, and finally, what a relief to get that out of the way.
Yeah, it certainly was. And his barns, you know, they were off to a slow start at this meet, but the last week or so, he's won over 10 races. So, you know, barns starting to wake up, and you're right, Mike. It's like waiting for that 500th home run or the 200th win, whatever it is. And it sits. And the longer it goes on, the more crazy you get. But that's what happened.
And, John, out west here at Del Mar, I asked you before we came on off air, did you see this race coming from Bob Baffert's two-year-old Hughes in yesterday's Grade 3 Best Pal? What an absolutely massive win here, and he's going to be odds on in the Del Mar Futurity.
Oh, no question about it, and it's Baffert, and it's Del Mar, and it's a baby race, so what do you really have to know? Anything? You just bet him.
Except that, you know, Bob has kind of shifted the major focus of his operation to Kentucky. He's been off to a bit of a slow start for him. He doesn't have the numbers out here this year. But my gosh, this horse just, he demolished him. One off by 7 3/4 lengths. First of two stakes wins for Juan Hernandez. Hughes paid $5. He came back later in the grade two yellow ribbon with Warming, shipping in for Graham Motion and Eclipse Thoroughbreds. And if you liked Warming, you got a 560 mutual. But a huge day for Juan, and I thought a massive effort from Hughes, a son of Into Mischief, who Mr. B. Wayne Hughes got going at his Spendthrift Farm.
Yeah, and by the way, back to Warming for a second. What a terrific effort she put in, because they were walking, Mike. She closed into pedestrian fractions, really, and what a terrific performance that was. And as far as Baffert's concerned, he spent Saturday at Saratoga watching Explorer One. So
yeah.
We saw him here yesterday. But you're right. Usually the summertime, he lives at Del Mar for the most part, and he's not there. He's all over, but I'm sure he'll show up.
And, you know, Warming, I got to give a huge tip of the cap to Juan Hernandez there. Found himself well off the pace. He said in the interview with Kurt Hoover after the race, if anybody's watching on the simulcast signal or RTN, that, you know, he knew they were going slow, but he wanted her comfortable. Then he had to sacrifice all ground. I mean, he was probably at least five deep turning for home, but boy, she put it all together. A nice kick, and they were up to win by a neck.
Really a terrific performance. Mike, if you want to talk about the Triple Crown situation, well, once again, I think, first of all, I don't really trust anything Churchill does, to be honest with you. And for what they pulled with this series, I think it's a horrible thing for racing. Because what did they do? They excluded the Preakness. Now, with the six series, they're going to ruin the Haskell. They're going to ruin the Pennsylvania Derby. These races aren't included. It's only Churchill. It's only Naira. No California races. No other races from any other jurisdiction. So what was the point to do this? I don't get what they did. I don't know why they did it. I don't think it's a good thing. If you want to have a series for the older horses, like yesterday. How great would that series have been if they included the Whitney and some of those big races for older horses?
Yeah.
The three-year-olds don't need it. The three-year-olds have the Triple Crown. All this is a knee-jerk reaction because the last 2 years, the winner of the Derby decided not to run in the Preakness. Big deal. It's not the end of the world. The Triple Crown's not supposed to be easy. It was won two out of the last 11 years anyway. So obviously it's not an impossible feat. Why did they do it? I don't get it.
Well, it's hardball. It's hardball. These guys, Bill Carstangen and David O'Rourke, we're going to be hearing. We got some sound from the Fox broadcast yesterday. I'm going to be using it top of the next hour. They're looking out for their shareholders. It's bare bones hardball. That's all it is. We can have all the industry conferences. I see this Arizona Symposium advertised again, and everybody can go around and, you know, talk and confer and everything. At the end of the day, especially now more than ever, it's just bare bones economics. People are looking out for themselves. Now, you said the three-year-olds have their own deal with the Triple Crown. Is it now a three-letter word, had? I mean, is the Triple Crown going to – it just – now, Pimlico, the Maryland Jockey Club, they've already got a tremendous amount of money up. They turned down a very big offer from Churchill for the intellectual rights to the Preakness. They're going to make a move. There's going to be an adjustment. I was talking with Mark Ratzke, a good friend. He works in the press box at Los Alamitos now, longtime columnist, daily racing form. And in Mark's opinion, what they need to do, what the Maryland Jockey Club probably will do, is search out an insurance policy and put a bonus in place to anybody running in the Kentucky Derby if they perform so well. Graduated down to 1, 2, 3, 4 maybe, and there's a bonus involved for the Preakness, and it's got to be big.
Absolutely, and good for the Maryland, Mike. They signed a 7-year deal with NBC, so they're not going anywhere. Okay, so if Churchill and Naira think they're going to muscle these guys out, they're not going anywhere. And it's going to be run on Sunday next year, so that's going to be interesting. And what happens now? Does Belmont back up 3 weeks from the Preakness? I don't know. And they'll be running a mile and a half at Belmont, so now they'll be off of 13 days.
They
just made a whole mess for nothing.
I don't think, at least in 2027, they're going to back the Belmont up. They may make an adjustment down the line, but you mentioned NBC. This is also a huge part of the situation. I saw part of an interview with Randy Moss, who's part of the NBC team. Again, I get back to this, John, it's hardball. You're talking huge numbers, and they think that by doing this, they can boost viewership for Fox and so on. You know, we had Tony Alavado on here last week talking about other things, and you know that he knew something was going on. Obviously, he couldn't show any cards about the press conference coming out the next day last Monday, but there's an awful lot of really heavy stuff to consider here.
I agree with you, Mike, and it's a mess. And listen, if they were so concerned about business and the bottom line, well, Del Mar and Saratoga would not be running races on top of each other.
I saw your post on X, yeah.
They did it yesterday, Mike. The Whitney, the biggest stake, the biggest race of the day, Del Mar decides to run their fourth race on top of the Whitney. Who makes these decisions?
Please, I don't know. Tell.
Seriously, what? You work behind the scenes. You know who makes these calls. I'm just curious. Do they realize that they're hurting their own game? They're hurting the handle. First of all, people like to cash a ticket and go make another bet. You're running two races, including the Whitney, on top of each other?
Yeah.
No sense whatsoever.
I was surprised by that. I thought, man, you can't be on top of the Whitney. We've got David Jerkins on hold. He's hearing every word you're saying. He's Del Mar's director of racing, and we'll get his thoughts on that and many other things in just a moment. First of all, though, John, we need to make some money. Where do you want to go?
All right, Mike, but before we want to make some money, I have to give you a congratulations. Your son was named coach, swimming and diving coach of the college that he works for, and that is quite a feat for a young guy like this. Congratulations, you must be one proud papa.
Yeah, I really am. Jason.
I got you, Mike. I got you to choke up. It's
yeah, he's my oldest, and I am, damn it. Chapman University, it's a huge deal for him. Anyway, John, let's get to the bank.
Okay, let's go to the 10th race at Saratoga, 1 1/16 on the turf, Mike, and I love the number one horse in here, the Paddock Pastor. This is a 5-year-old gelding from the Amelia Green Barn. Her last two races, both at Saratoga, she broke on the grass. She broke from post 11 and post 12. It's like impossible to win from those post positions. He now moves to the rail. He's listed at 8-1 on the morning line. Gets a rider switch to Jose Ortiz. Number one, the Paddock Pastor, upsets and wins today's 10th race out at Saratoga.
Post time 6:19 Eastern. Tell us about JONHARDON.com, John.
Three best plays, $10. Full card, $25. Today we have Del Mar and Saratoga selections. Tomorrow, Gulfstream runs on Monday, so selections for Monday's Gulfstream will be up at noontime Pacific.
And, John, good feature race today at Del Mar, the Grade 3 Sereno. Got a couple of really talented fillies, Ruiva for Wesley Ward, coming back from Great Britain, Holmby for that guy Bob Baffert. A lot to talk about when we get you back toward the end of the show. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Mike. Stay safe and be well.
You as well as advertised. Now we're joined by David Jerkins from the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and he is the racing secretary down there. David, good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. I'm sure you heard John's little blast there about the Whitney and the fourth at Del Mar kind of being on top of it. I know it's a long race day. Speaking of race days, I understand the handle, you guys are about even with last year. Is that correct?
I think right now, Mike, we're getting close to the halfway point, and business is doing really well.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, we're basically slightly up from last year through yesterday. So
good.
We're moving along, and we're going to get ready for our big week, Pacific Classic week, on the 22nd.
Right, and I see Saratoga, you know, they had a big day, but they were down about $2 million year-to-year on their Whitney Day card. Let's talk, there's several things to cover here, but Pacific Classic, obviously we took a big hit when it was announced, Nisos retired, going to stud, but I'm reading that Knightsbridge, who holds the nation's highest buyer speed figure, he got a 122 buyer last time out at Monmouth Park. It looks like he's possible. Ford Steel scratched out of the Whitney yesterday for Safi Joseph. A massive winner two back of the Hollywood Gold Cup at Santa Anita. What can you tell us about the Classic which is a little bit earlier this year, in 2 weeks, Saturday, August 22nd?
Well, as we know, in this game, a lot can change. So we ran the San Diego Handicap our opening weekend. Journalism was the winner. We had news that Nisos was preparing for the Pacific Classic.
Yeah.
And obviously those two horses won't make it. So it's a fluid situation, as we know, in racing. But we're getting a positive response from, outfits from all over the country as well as internationally. We have a horse from Japan that is scheduled to arrive to Del Mar on August 16th. It's a three-year-old. The horse's name is Finger. So that adds a different element to the race. You mentioned Knightsbridge. He's planning on shipping to California. Safi Joseph trains two horses, Forge Steel and Navajo Warrior, that are planning on running here. And then our local contingent, if you look at what we have on our property, Full Serrano is trying to make the race. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Nevada Beach can make the race. Some horses that are coming off layoffs. Subsanador. So there's a mix of just all types of horses coming from all different directions, which should provide a compelling race.
Ballpark number 8, 9, 10 horses. What do you think, David?
Well, like I mentioned, a lot changes. 2 weeks can be an eternity sometimes. But, I think we'll be in the ballpark of 8 to 10.
Good.
Runners. Don't forget, it's the only million-dollar race in the state of California. So our local owners, trainers, it provides an opportunity to run for real money. As we know, New York and others have monopoly money to play with, in terms of what they can offer for stakes races. So, we get a lot of positive response on the Pacific Classic. We have a good undercard that day as well. So we're expecting a big day.
Well, certainly hope so. And if Knightsbridge comes in, would he come in about a week ahead of the race, do you think, David?
Typically, Mike, horses from out of state arrive on the Monday of that particular week. So,
got it.
I would expect Knightsbridge, as well as the Safi Joseph shippers, probably I would expect on Monday or Tuesday.
Our guest is Del Mar Senior Vice President and Race Secretary David Jerkins from a legendary racing family. His grandfather, Alan Jerkins, a member of the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame, known as the Giant Killer due to his many, many upsets and big, big stakes over the years in New York, particularly at Saratoga Racecourse. David, your dad is Jimmy Jerkins. I never told you this, but I actually took him out to dinner one time a couple days in front of the 2017 Santa Anita Handicap. Had John Shervin with the LA Times there. He ran Shaman Ghost, and as you know, he got the money, so that one worked out pretty good with a nice advanced story. I'm laying the groundwork for this. You've been at Del Mar for 13 years now. You apprenticed, so to speak, in California up in the Bay Area, and prior to that you had been at Aqueduct and in New York in a number of roles. We face so many challenges. You mentioned, air quotes, monopoly money being available in competing jurisdictions like New York, like Kentucky, and so on, because they have access to casino gaming revenue. One of the biggest challenges here in California, as you know, is our two-year-old dirt situation. Brad Free had a story in yesterday's Daily Racing Form, I think, stating that, we had only had 4 two-year-old maiden races, special weights, that went due to lack of entries. It's a massive challenge. How do you address it? What can you do, David?
Well, we knew when we analyzed all our figures from last year in terms of every different category and field size and how many races filled, the only category that we really had difficulty with compared to the prior year was two-year-old maidens on the dirt. And we took an approach with our partners at TOC to offer some auction-level races, which essentially is like a B-level type maiden two-year-old race. And they have filled. So we're creating winners from different barns that perhaps would not have been, in the winner's circle last summer. But it is a challenge, the two-year-old conundrum on the dirt. We know the statistics are what they are in terms of the full crop decline. We understand the purse discrepancy that we're up against. So there's multiple factors that present challenges. I think in my communication with horsemen, I think a lot of 2-year-olds are a little bit behind as they normally would be at Del Mar, where I think you're going to see more of an impact in the entry box as we get into the middle of book two and then the final condition book. You know, our inventory numbers are essentially flat from last year. So it's been a little bit of a surprise, Mike, that, you know, we've struggled with a couple maiden races. But generally, you know, overall, the condition book is filling consistently. And, you know, we feel that in terms of the 2-year-old category, we think we're going to see a lot more entries as we get later into the meet.
Okay, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. One thing's for sure, grass racing, immensely popular. I mean, you compare the situation, the business model today to 20 years ago, not much comparison because you're running basically 50% of the races on each surface. Am I close there, David?
When I first got to Del Mar, I think we were about 42% turf races, and now we're close to 50%.
There you go.
We're actually down a little. Believe it or not, through 3 weeks, we've run a few more dirt races than grass races. We've essentially run the same number of races, same number of days. But again, like you said, turf racing has become more popular. It's nationwide. It's not just a California situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to have balance and fill races on the dirt and fill races of all levels. You know, we have owners and trainers that compete in races of all different categories. And, you know, I've always thought that the best part of your program is to, you know, provide balance. You're going to have some of your lower level categories that need to fill, and you're going to have to fill some of your high end races as well. So, I think we've accomplished that pretty much through, you know, we're going to be through 4 weeks already. And I think the end of the meet is going to feel really strong as we conclude on Labor Day.
David, thanks for your time. Nobody's looking for more dirt than a guy by the name of Bob Baffert, who knocked down his fifth consecutive win in the Grade 2 Best Pal yesterday with a mega-talented colt by the name of Hughes. And it was his 12th win overall in the stake. His record-setting, every time he wins a stake, he breaks his own record. 191st Del Mar Stakes win. And we're looking forward to Hughes. I know you are as well, suiting up for the Del Mar Futurity here in a few weeks. David Jerkins, Executive Vice President, Racing Secretary at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Hope to get you on again soon, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Anytime.
All right, you take care. Late on the break, we'll take it. Then we're heading down to Carlsbad. Say hello to John Lindo. Orlando Gutierrez is going to be joining us from Los Alamitos. And on the distant horizon near the top of the hour, we've got Matthew DeSantis on behalf of the New York Racing Association. Ray Pollock from the Pollock Report will be joining us top of the hour, and we're going to talk in depth about this newly announced six-race series for three-year-olds, Churchill Downs NYRA, next hour. Don't go away. This is Thoroughbred LA.
Angels Radio, AM 830.
Here at David Wilson's Villa Ford of Orange, we are here to help. We're open for sales and service, and with hundreds of vehicles to choose from, we are ready to assist you. And remember, you can get into that brand new Ford that you've always wanted without leaving the comfort of your home. Visit us at VillaFord.com to buy or lease your next car with great upfront pricing and a 100% online experience. Great financing and big retail enhancements on Ford Fusion and all popular Ford SUVs are available now. Check our website for tremendous pricing and financing on all Ford products, including America's best-selling vehicle, the F-150 pickup truck. David Wilson's Villa Ford of Orange. Call or click today at 714-509-5615 or visit us at Villa Ford of Orange.
From conception to the starting gate, Legacy Ranch does it all. Located in the small town of Clements, Legacy Ranch sits on 145 beautifully manicured acres with lush paddocks for your mares and babies. The large pastures are irrigated year-round, and private paddocks are available too. Ranch manager Terry Knight is well known throughout California as a top-notch horseman and oversees the breaking and training of your young stock. The 5/8 mile training track is maintained to the highest standards under supervision of well-known track man Richard Tedesco and includes a starting gate and chute for gate workouts. Take a video tour of Legacy Ranch by going to LegacyRanchInc.com. Or better yet, farm owners Pete and Evelyn Perella invite you to schedule an in-person visit where you can meet Legacy Ranch Stallions Clubhouse Ride, Forbidden Kingdom, and Om, sire of Grade 2 Santa Margarita Stakes winner Om Enjoy. Get your young horses started the right way at Legacy Ranch. Contact Legacy Ranch at 510-928-4980 and start your journey to the winner's circle.
Breed to pure California speed as Legacy Ranch welcomes Forbidden Kingdom.
It's Forbidden Kingdom, dominant in the San Vicente.
This blazing fast son of American Pharaoh went wire to wire in every one of his victories.
What a performance from Forbidden Kingdom in the San Felipe.
Posting three Grade 2 wins on dirt and turf.
Forbidden Kingdom, resolute, turns away a big bit.
Breed to the speed of California speed. Forbidden Kingdom, now standing at Legacy Ranch.
From Santa Anita to Del Mar to key race meets around the country, Bruce Finkelstein's Bet on Bruce has you covered. Full card selections and featured races throughout the country available every racing day at betonbruce.com. Get advice on multi-wager ticket structures and improve your return on investment with Bruce Finkelstein's betonbruce.com. Bet on experience. betonbruce.com.
From Hawaii's Big Island, nature has given us Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee, derived from a naturally occurring coffee bean that is only found in this precise altitude and climatic setting. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee ensures a perfect start to your day or any cherished moment from sunup to sundown. Every treasured coffee bean is the result of nearly 4 years of nurturing on the 57-acre family farm in the mountains above Halu'aloha, Hawaii. And unlike many other coffee beans from the Big Island, Uncle Chemo's is estate grade and hand roasted. This means all beans are grown, picked, roasted, and packaged on the farm to ensure the beans are the most balanced and as rich in flavor as possible. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee is now available on the mainland. To place an order, please visit UncleChemo'sKonaCoffee.com and look for our logo on the track and in the winner's circle, along with leading writer Juan Hernandez. Fans, visit our website and you can see for yourself that Uncle Chemo's emanates from a true island paradise. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee, you can taste the aloha.
Hello, I'm Alan Mosna, Toyota of Orange. For over 48 years, we've said you won't get a lemon at Toyota of Orange. That means you're driving a reliable Toyota. It also means you're getting the best deal on every new Toyota in stock. We're talking RAV4, Camry, Tacoma, Corolla, you name it. How have we stayed number one all these years? By turning lemons into oranges. Toyota of Oranges.
Well, you won't get a lemon from Toyota of Orange. Well, you won't get a lemon.
Hi, everybody. This is Juan Hernandez. If you want to break out of the gate fast like I do every morning, do what I do. Have a cup of Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee. Uncle Chemo's, you'll be glad you did.
And welcome back. Hour one, Thoroughbred Los Angeles. And my sincere thanks to Chris Monreal inside here at the Big A in Anaheim, making things happen. Before we get along any further, I want to give a shout-out to a real special guy. He's celebrating his 73rd birthday today. His name is Jeff Householder. He's a regular attendee at Los Alamitos Racecourse. And his brother, Robert, well, he's a key employee for David and Holly Wilson over there at Toyota of Orange. Jeff, if you're listening, man, have a great day. Number 73, Jeff Householder. And speaking of David and Holly Wilson, just absolutely tremendous supporters of the game overall. They donated their $18,000 winnings from yesterday's Best Pal Stakes to the Karmathon, which was run throughout the day yesterday, and they put up an offer the final 2 hours of the event that they'd match anything up to $18,000. Just some incredible people. We're so fortunate to have them supporting this show. Let's get down to Carlsbad right now. Say hello to John Lindo. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Good. Enjoyed you and Bob Ike on air here yesterday. Let's talk cowbreds, man. I mean, and the stallion, Pavel, owned by Paul and Zilla Redham. You texted me over. How many wins does it look like Pavel has at this meet?
I think it's 8 different wins. It might be more. I'm not sure. I've lost track. That's how many he's been winning.
Yeah.
And they're made in special weights, you know, stakes races, all kinds of races. What a role that sire's been on.
Unreal.
At Del Mar.
That's through 14 racing days. On Friday, the stallion Pavel got a dumb free closer up to win by a nose in the CBA stakes. And then yesterday, and that free closer trained by Michael McCarthy. Yesterday it was net par trained by Anthony Garcia, very impressive winner of the graduation stakes.
Yeah, the graduation stakes was on Friday, and the free closer.
I'm sorry.
The
graduation stakes was a nose win. I'm sorry about that.
Right.
Yeah.
The free closer came from out of it like she always has, and came back from, you know, from a trip to Kentucky. And both the sons and daughters of Pavel for Redham Racing. And, boy, Paul and Zilla Redham have had an unbelievable meet as well. Just huge Del Mar for all those connections.
Yeah, thanks for setting me straight there, John. John, want to also talk about the overall California bred situation. So many reasons to own and breed here in California. We just had David Jerkins on. No secret. Getting dirt races to go for the babies, it's a big challenge. The full crop, it's a challenge. You know, Golden Gate Fields went away. The trade-off was that the South now has the host fees, and we desperately needed to boost purses to keep people in the game. We've done that, and now we just got to try and shore up the overall situation on several fronts.
Well, seeing at Del Mar, the races that are filling and filling big are the cowbred races, especially the maidens for two-year-olds and, you know, dirt and turf. You were getting a lot of entries, but, you know, in a few years, we're going to need more foals to be able to do that. They're taking advantage of these big purses, and it's fun to watch. I mean, I was down in the paddock for a maiden race yesterday and saw Doug Burge down there. We were just admiring the cowbreds. And it's great to see these full fields. And, you know,
yeah.
you got the sire that's hot like Pavel. We talk about Clubhouse Ride all the time. We're going to have another sire coming up. But, you know, Forbidden Kingdom is going to have some babies on the ground next year. That'll be turning into, I think they'll be they're hitting the ground this year. There'll be two-year-olds in 2 years. So
they'll be yearlings after the first of the year. Yeah.
Right. So we're a couple of years away from them. But, you know, talking to the folks at Legacy, they like what they see there, too.
And they also stand Om, and he is doing very well, all things considered, John. He really is. Om and Joy hit the board in the Grade 1. Clement Hirsch came from way off the pace to be second. So they've got really a solid stallion roster. Clubhouse Ride, I mean, he's just like fine wine. He just rolls on, man.
Om and Joy might run in the Pacific Classic against the boys.
It's saw that.
Right now with Aggie Ordonez and her connection, so that would be something.
It really would. And encourage people to go to LegacyRanch.com if you want to see everything they have to offer. You mentioned you and Bob Ike went out to dinner the other night with Pete Perella and Terry Knight. And, boy, Terry, you know, he grew up in this game. His dad was a big guy with the quarter horses. Terry told me a lot of the Angel players used to be over there back in the day. We're talking early, mid-60s. Jim Fregosi, certainly one of them, Buck Rogers. Those guys loved racing. And Terry, just a guy well steeped in the game and very, very accomplished guy, both quarter horse and thoroughbreds. It's a great asset to have him as the farm manager. That number to call at Legacy, folks, 510-928-4980. John, I'm sure you enjoyed the dinner.
That was fantastic. I love talking horses with guys like Terry Knight, who've seen so much and done so much. And again, I saw him in the paddock yesterday, you know, doing the same old thing trainers do, marking legs and horses, seeing what they look like and
right.
and checking out what's going on. So you can't take the horseman out of him even if he's not at the track every day.
No doubt about it. And, John, one other thing. Heard from Steve Johnson up at the South Point yesterday. Anybody goes up there, they can get your Lindo report free of charge. But he said they've got lines for opening week regular season NFL. The preseason sets start, I think, next weekend. So, you know, the real races are coming at us very soon there with the NFL with a short preseason.
Absolutely, and college football will start before that. So we're going to get a lot of that football action. You remember, the sports book is separate from the race book at the South Point. So if you want to play horses, you will be able to get a seat. You will be able to play, and you can still wander around the corner there, and you have some action on the sports, whether it be pro, college football, the baseball. We'll be in the playoffs sooner than later. So a lot going on out there this time of year.
Toll-free number to call there at the South Point. Ask for Steve Johnson, 866-780-7223 or 866-780-RACE. And ask for the horse player right there in the race book with Steve Johnson. All right, John, let's get to it and see who you like on today's nine-race card down where the turf meets the surf.
Let's go to the opener, 2 o'clock first post time as usual at Del Mar. In the first race today, number 5, Brazoria. I liked her 5-furlong turf debut. She finished up well in a fast 5-furlong race, and she galloped out really well like a filly that wants 2 turns. She's by Frankel out of a War Front mare, so that tells you the route should be no problem. I think she's going to move forward today. She's 6-1 on the program. A mile and eighth is a lot coming off of one sprint, but I'm going to take the shot here because the value is there. Number 5, Brazoria, race number 1 at Del Mar.
And, John, speaking of Del Mar, I wanted to mention that pick 6 pool yesterday. It was just under $900,000, and it paid $26,000 and change.
Yeah, it was huge. It went to town on that. And nobody hit the super high 5 in the last race today. So if you like that wager, I think there's $26,000 in the pool for that one. That's the last race, the 9th and final today.
John, looking forward to you and Bob Icke on air this coming Saturday, 9 to 10, right here on AM 830. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Good luck today.
And also, folks, those of you listening on the Internet, I understand there's been some troubles. A really good workaround is the Angels Radio app. It's free of charge. And, hey, the Angels are going to be a lot better next year. I guarantee it. Get the Angels Radio app, and you're not going to have any streaming issues. Okay, let's stay with the phones, and we get down Cotella. Say hello to Orlando Gutierrez, was there very late last night at Los Al. Hey, Orlando, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. You got 8 of them today, kind of like a day off. 6:40 first post time. And a nice carryover in your traditional pick 6, that $2 pick 6, $15,760, Orlando.
Yeah, carryover. The big reason was race number 8, the John Deere Juvenile California Challenge. In a big price, a 20-1 KRA Political Run gets the victory. And she's always been very quick at 220 yards. Well, she ran the first 220 yards. I guess it was that distance, but the final rest of the race, the remaining 130 yards, she just ran lights out, gets that victory in a very special moment for a jockey, Jesse Gonzalez,
yeah.
38 years old, picks up his first stakes win ever, and a big smile in the winner's circle. And he won a buckle for winning this race, and he said, "This is what I wanted. I wanted a big buckle for my race." So now he can wear that for the rest of the year and show it off, right, that he got that nice, right.
Got to be a little bit careful at the airport, but you could see the exuberance when he hit the wire. And unlike so many other quarter horse races, this one was a no doubt about it. It looked like he won by about a head, and he was some kind of happy, man. 38 years old, his first ever stakes win. That's a big deal.
It is, Mike. And, you know, he's only won 17 races in his career. He started out late. His uncle, Felix Gonzalez, got him going, and like I mentioned, he's 38. He probably started riding when he was like 33, 34. Doesn't get a ton of miles. Definitely doesn't get on a lot of the favorites. So definitely a big, big win for Jesse. But, you know, Juan Alemán just continues to deliver in these challenge races this year. He's now won 3 in a row in this series, so he's got 3 horses that that could be going to Albuquerque in October for the big AQHA Racing Challenge final.
Let's talk about your main event tonight, Orlando, and it'll go as the eighth and final.
Yeah, this is the Florentine Handicap, $25,000 on the line. Phillies and mares, super nice field of nine of them here. And none of them have won a stakes race yet, so they're all looking for that that top bull type as a stakes winner. Really strong field. With the horse on the rail, Curl Happy Wagon, is the 3-1 top choice here. And she's making her 2026 debut. Really good last year, qualified to the All-American Oaks, qualified to the Super Derby. Like I mentioned, she has yet to win a stakes race, so this could be huge for her. And top jockey Rodrigo Cigala Vallejo, when he comes into town to ride, it's because he knows he's got a really high-quality stakes runner. He's only ridden twice this year. He's won twice this year, including the Los Alamitos Oaks with Beautiful. So serious business if he's coming in to ride number one, Curl Happy Wagon. But all in all, a really nice group of fillies and mares in this one.
Okay, and the eighth and final goes at 9:32 tonight. A best bet for radio tonight, Orlando?
Yeah, I'll go to race number two with the one, Win Happy. It's a 2.5 furlong event. 2-1 for this veteran runner, but loves this distance. Really should be much shorter price, but a 2-1. And if I can get that, I would love that. This horse has won a couple of races here at this distance in the past. Should be really good from post number one. And my long shot, actually, is Curl Happy Wagon. Again, I mentioned that this horse is making the season debut. I think it's open from there. And I'll give the four, Powerful Wife Lady, a chance as my long shot play at 8-1 for trainer Paul Jones. This horse always knocking on the door, has yet to win at this distance, but it's coming off of a nice second. This is her second outing of the season. Maybe that gives her just enough to get the upset win here. Hey, we had one last night. We can get another one tonight.
And again, the race number, Orlando?
This will be race number eight, the Florentine Handicap in the feature.
Yeah, eighth and final. Again, that goes at 9:32. You wanted to get the word out. Your simulcast guy, we've seen him in the paddock on the simulcast signal for a lot of years. Chris Wade, you're going to have him on wheels here the next few weeks going around some of the simulcast locations.
Yeah, Chris Wade will be on the road. He has visited a couple of satellites recently. He went to Hollywood Park a few weeks ago. Well, he is now traveling to Commerce Casino next Saturday night. He'll be doing a handicapping seminar. We'll be passing out handicapping tip sheets. He's got giveaways to go on. And just
good.
Happy to go out there and meet a lot of the great, great horse players at around simulcast land. And from there, on August 22nd, on the following Saturday, he'll be visiting Striders in Norco, first time visiting that great location. And when I called to set up the visit, Mr. Roy Lopez, who works there at nighttime, he said, "I hear you all the time on the Mike Willman show." So he's a listener. I hope he's listening there. We'll be going out there to visit Norco pretty soon, Roy.
That's a great location there, as you know, and that's horse country. That satellite does very well. Old school PR. Getting out there and meeting the people that make our game go, that lay the money down. Orlando Gutierrez, thank you so much. I know you were busy last night. Good luck to today and tonight there at Los Alamitos Racecourse.
Thanks so much, Mike. And again, that big carryover tonight, over 15,000. Have a great day.
Okay, that'll be races 3-8. Late on our final break, we'll take it. Coming back strong with Matthew DeSantis on behalf of Naira Betts. He had a $14 horse for us last week on air. The pressure's on. Don't go away.
Angels Radio. AM
830.
Hello, I'm Alan Mosna, Toyota of Orange. For over 48 years, we've said you won't get a lemon at Toyota of Orange. That means you're driving a reliable Toyota. It also means you're getting the best deal on every new Toyota in stock. We're talking RAV4, Camry, Tacoma, Corolla, you name it. How have we stayed number one all these years? By turning lemons into oranges. Toyota of Oranges.
Well, you won't get a lemon from Toyota of Orange. Well, you won't get a lemon.
It's another huge weekend of nighttime racing action at Los Alamitos. Get ready to cash in on night racing's best bets all weekend long, featuring our popular early and late pick four wagers and the traditional pick six. And remember, we'll add $10,000 of new money to the pick six pool this Sunday night if there isn't a carryover. The pick six promotional pools often reach the $70,000 mark. Our pick six pools have hit historic figures this season, including a record $700,000 total pool on June 7th. And racing fans, make your plans now to join us for more stakes racing action this month. The Claiming Futurity on August 16th, the Sgt. Pepper feature on August 22nd, and the Grade 1 Go Man Go on August 23rd. It's great quarter horse racing action every weekend at Los Alamitos. For Vessels Club reservations, call 714-820-2681. Or join us at Burgart Sports Bar. The best of racing is always at Los Alamitos. Our races start shortly after the final race from Del Mar.
Hey, everybody, if you love pizza, and who doesn't, I've got the place for you. It's Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne at the southwest corner of Foothill Boulevard and D Street next to Stater Brothers. They've got freshly baked, delicious pizza at the best prices you'll find anywhere. Speaking of pricing, check out their hot and ready menu, which includes hot and ready Caesar wings, whole pizza, by the slice, crazy bread, Italian cheese bread, save a taco. Eat a pizza at Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne.
Folks, life is about family, friends, and the unforgettable experiences we enjoy together. If you are considering the Hawaiian Islands for that special vacation, a wedding, or perhaps a corporate outing, visit HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com and you can see for yourself what this tremendous new venue located on the island of Hawaii has to offer. When you settle in at the Halualoha Garden and Kitchen, the breathtaking view of the Kona Coast adds a touch of enchantment far, far removed from the everyday stresses and strains of life on the mainland. Nestled on the slopes of the majestic Halu'aloha volcano, this venue offers guests a remarkable combination of Polynesian dining along with striking natural beauty and world-renowned island charm. With a top-notch chef and a fresh farm-to-kitchen approach, you'll experience island dining that is truly out of this world. Visit our website, HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com, or call 307-461-1450 for complete details and get ready for the experience of a lifetime at Halualoha Garden and Kitchen.
Hi, this is Bill Coyne of South Bay Toyota, and if you're looking for an easy, hassle-free way to buy a car, South Bay Toyota is the place for you. Simply pick the vehicle of your choice, receive your price up front, and you're driving home. It's that easy at South Bay Toyota, located at the 405 Freeway and Western Avenue.
From Hawaii's Big Island, nature has given us Uncle Kimo's Kona Coffee, derived from a naturally occurring coffee bean that is only found in this precise altitude and climatic setting. Uncle Kimo's Kona Coffee ensures a perfect start to your day or any cherished moment from sunup to sundown. Every treasured coffee bean is the result of nearly 4 years of nurturing on the 57-acre family farm in the mountains above Halualoha, Hawaii. And unlike many other coffee beans from the Big Island, Uncle Kimo's is estate grade and hand roasted. This means all beans are grown, picked, roasted, and packaged on the farm to ensure the beans are the most balanced and as rich in flavor as possible. Uncle Kimo's Kona Coffee is now available on the mainland. To place an order, please visit UncleKimo'sKonaCoffee.com and look for our logo on the track and in the winner's circle, along with leading writer Juan Hernandez. Fans, visit our website and you can see for yourself that Uncle Kimo's emanates from a true island paradise. Uncle Kimo's Kona Coffee, you can taste the aloha.
This segment is brought to you by the Bit Tavern in South Arcadia, just off the corner of 10th and Live Oak. Beer me at the Bit.
I like a nightlife, baby. And welcome back. Final segment, hour one. A quick word about Del Mar's current leading trainer, Doug O'Neill. Doug, along with his son, Daniel, well, they run Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne. We talk about it a lot. I get out there on a regular basis, and we buff everybody out at the First Cabin Sports Bar and Lounge in Arcadia with a stack of pizza, courtesy of Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne. You're never going to beat the service. The product is incredible. They're at the corner of D Street and Foothill, right behind In-N-Out, next to Stater Brothers. Save a taco, eat a pizza at Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza. in Laverne. Well, we set the stage now for Matthew DeSantis back at Saratoga Racecourse. I hope you're hungry, Matt.
I'm always hungry for a winner, that's for sure. No, it's going to be a great day, and I need to get out there to Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesar Pizza when I get out to California next time.
I'll take you by the hand, and then we'll go right down to the Derby Room at Fairplex Park, where I worked for many years when it was the old bull ring there during the L.A. County Fair, and we'll bet it up. Yeah. Hey, on behalf of the listeners, thanks so much. Great job last week. Stress relief, and it did just that at $14.22 there at Saratoga. Well done, Matt.
Thanks so much. Hey, listen, I love those two-year-old races. That's what Saratoga's all about. And when you're up here a lot, you start to get a sense of how to play those races as you're up here a little bit longer.
That's well and good, but it's turf history. There's 11 today. Where do we go?
Yeah, let's go to race number 4 on the card, 2:50 p.m. Eastern. It's a 6.5 furlong, $35,000 maiden claimer. And these are the sorts of races I love to target for a price. And there's a Chad Brown horse that's doing the class drop, and number 8, Mr. Michigana. 8-1 in the morning line. This horse is getting the makeover package. We're dropping down in class. We're switching surfaces, blinkers on, gelding, Lasix, the whole nine yards. And, oh, by the way, we're picking up Flavian Pratt. I just think you're getting a really good price on this horse, who I don't know if this horse can, you know, run anymore. But the bottom line is the workouts look really good. And one thing to really keep an eye on is Chad Brown, when he drops horses into claiming ranks, up here in Saratoga is deadly. So I just think this is a horse that is a prime candidate run well off a long layoff and get the makeover package. Mr. Michigana, 8-1 for Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt.
Is that a Yiddish term?
I believe so. The Italian in me is not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure it is.
All I know is the late Jack Carlick, we knew him out here as the dean of Southern California Public Handicappers. He'd say, he's Michigan, meaning he's nuts.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
All right, Mr. Michigana, we'll take it for what it's worth, the fourth race at Saratoga. That's going to be match play of the day. That race goes at 2:50 Eastern. How do we get signed up for NairaBets.com?
Absolutely. Go to NairaBets.com, download the NairaBets app, use the promo code SPA200, get up to a $200 deposit match bonus. We got promos every single day, tracks across the country and across the world. It's a great way to play. We got a lot of free resources for players on the site, on the YouTube channel, on the app, the whole nine yards.
Fourth race, number 8, Mr. Michigana, 8-1 on the morning line with a guy named Flavian Pratt. That'll work. Thanks so much, Matt. We'll talk next week.
Thanks so much, Mike. Have a good one.
Okay, we're going to step aside for just a few minutes. As advertised, we're coming back real strong this morning. Ray Pollack from the Pollack Report, and we're going to boil down the X's and O's on this new deal announced that just might be blowing up Thoroughbred Horse Racing's Triple Crown. Don't go away.
The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed are those of the program sponsors and not necessarily the views of AM 830, its owners, or management.
Angels baseball is less than 2 hours away here on Angels Radio, AM 830, KLAA.
Orange County, Los Angeles, and Inland Empire.
The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed are those of the program sponsors and not necessarily the views of AM 830, its owners, or management.
Hi, everybody. This is Juan Hernandez. If you want to break out of the gate fast like I do every morning, do what I do. Have a cup of Uncle Kimo's Kona coffee. Uncle Kimo's, you'll be glad you did.
Hey everybody, if you've got plumbing needs, commercial or residential, give my good friends at Western Rooter a call. Family owned and here to help, Western Rooter does it all and does it better 24/7. From clogged drains to complete copper repipes to water heaters, conventional and tankless, Western Rooter is here to help and will solve whatever issues you may have on time and under budget. Western Rooter, serving the Arcadia, Pasadena, and greater LA area for more than 3 decades. Call now at 626-448-6455. Mention Thoroughbred LA Radio and save 10% off your total invoice. Western Rooter, the best in the West. Folks, life is about family, friends, and the unforgettable experiences we enjoy together. If you are considering the Hawaiian Islands for that special vacation, a wedding, or perhaps a corporate outing, visit HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com and you can see for yourself what this tremendous new venue located on the island of Hawaii has to offer. When you settle in at the Halualoha Garden and Kitchen, the breathtaking view of the Kona Coast adds a touch of enchantment far, far removed from the everyday stresses and strains of life on the mainland. Nestled on the slopes of the majestic Halu'aloha volcano, this venue offers guests a remarkable combination of Polynesian dining along with striking natural beauty and world-renowned island charm. With a top-notch chef and a fresh farm-to-kitchen approach, you'll experience island dining that is truly out of this world. Visit our website, halu'alohagardenandkitchen.com, or call 307-461-1450 for complete details and get ready for the experience of a lifetime at Halu'aloha Garden and Kitchen. Nearly 50 years ago, Len Ragazin formulated the idea of speed ratings. Today, the Ragazin Sheets are still America's premier speed rating product. Who uses Len Ragazin speed ratings? Trainers use the Ragazin Sheets to place their horses. Breeders check the Ragazin Sheets before making million-dollar decisions. And jockey agents consult the Ragazin Sheets when choosing which horse to ride. But most importantly, the Ragazin Sheets are used by players like you. The Ragazin Sheets are available online at thesheets.com. Our website also offers free introductory material, including an online seminar. You can also receive free introductory material by calling us directly at 212-674-3123. That's the Ragazin Sheets at 212-674-3123. Ragazin, the most respected name in racing.
Hey everybody, if you love pizza, and who doesn't, I've got the place for you. It's Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne at the southwest corner of Foothill Boulevard and D Street next to Stater Brothers. They've got freshly baked, delicious pizza at the best prices you'll find anywhere. Speaking of pricing, check out their hot and ready menu, which includes hot and ready Caesar wings, whole pizza, by the slice, crazy bread, Italian cheese bread, save a taco. Eat a pizza at Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne.
Owners and breeders, take advantage of new cowbred incentive programs from the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. Starting in 2026, the Santa Anita Winter Meet will offer increased owners premiums of $12,500 for all winners of open, restricted, and cowbred maiden special weight races. For the 2026 Del Mar Summer Meet, that incentive bonus is $15,000. That 2026 Fall Del Mar Meet will offer a $12,500 bonus, and the 2026 Los Alamitos Thoroughbred Meets will offer a $10,000 bonus. Owners of Mares Bred in 2026 will be awarded $1,000 for each 2027 foal registered as a cowbred, up to 25 foals per breeder. CTA members will have the $100 foal registration fee waived for cowbreds foaled in 2025, 26, and 27. Travel reimbursements are also available for broodmares purchased out of state when they produce a cowbred foal. It pays to own, breed, and race in California.
Los Angeles. Again, my thanks to the one and only Chris Monreal making things happen inside here at the Big A in Anaheim, along with downtown Dave Calloway. Listen, before we go to Ray Pollock, I want to set this up a little bit, folks. And if you were with us in hour one, Jonathan Hardoon and I talked a little bit about this massive announcement, a joint announcement this past Monday from Churchill Downs Incorporated and the New York Racing Association regarding a new series for three-year-olds in 2027, beginning with the Kentucky Derby. It includes the Belmont, the Travers, and most notably, not the Preakness. Here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal, of all places, in yesterday's online edition, the Wall Street Journal. Horse racing's Triple Crown may no longer be worth chasing. Subhead, a new partnership between the operators of the Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes has left the Preakness fighting for relevance. Along with that, I want to go to some sound right now from yesterday's Fox broadcast on Whitney Stakes Day. There, Acacia Courtney had Bill Carstangen heads up everything, the CEO at Churchill Downs Incorporated, and David O'Rourke, he's the president CEO with the New York Racing Association. She went to Bill Carstangen first, and Courtney just asked him to explain this newly announced series.
Horses race repeatedly against each other, and from that, that's a series. From that, we'll see rivalries develop, we'll see all sorts of nuances and all sorts of stories develop. So first and foremost, this is what our customers have told us they want to see, and it's what you see in a lot of other sports.
And Dave, what is so special about this partnership between NYRA and Churchill, as it doesn't exist before?
No, this allows the two largest entities in horse racing really to combine assets and create a season. And I think one of the things specifically for the Twin Spires kicking it off, we've got one of the biggest events in the world, in the sporting world, to kick off a season-long 5 months of racing. I think this is going to be an awesome sophomore series, and I think it's a great foundation.
And Bill, if you're looking a few years down the road, what do you hope this championship series will become?
I hope that this is bigger than the Derby. I hope that in 5-10 years from now, what you see is the horse winning and competing to win this series is as big a deal, if not bigger than the Belmont Stakes and bigger than the Kentucky Derby, that this becomes a major milestone that makes a horse a great horse and a legendary horse, and that the country rallies around this and spends 5-6 months paying attention to what's happening in this series.
Well, we're so excited about it. Thank you both for taking some time to give us a little insight.
Thanks.
Okay, there you have it from yesterday's Fox Sports broadcast of the Grade 1 Whitney from Saratoga. Want to welcome aboard now Ray Pollock, heads up what has been the biggest news aggregator in racing for many years, the Pollock Report. Ray, good morning. Thanks for making time for us.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I know you agree that this is the biggest story in racing this week and in many, many other weeks. You know, the truth is, three out of the last five Kentucky Derby winners have skipped the Preakness, including the last two in a row, the Bill Mott Train Sovereignty in 2025 and the Cherie DeVoe Train Golden Tempo in 2026. Both horses skipped the Preakness, came back, and won the Belmont. And Cherie is quoted in the Wall Street Journal story that I just referenced as saying no regrets to skipping the Preakness. She didn't think they'd be in the position they are in at this point in the year with this colt had they run in the Preakness, which it's a quick turnaround. But that is what has made winning the Triple Crown so incredibly tough over the years. Things change, as you know, Ray. It was announced on Wednesday, and everybody knew the announcement was coming from the Maryland Jockey Club, that they were going to be moving the Preakness, a unilateral move, back 8 days. A lot of people said we needed more spacing. They said, okay, but we're going to get off Saturday. NBC, I think, said, hey, look, it'd be much better for us on Sunday. I happen to agree it might be much better for racing coming 3 weeks and a day after the Kentucky Derby to run it on that Sunday, May 23rd. Your thoughts on the entire situation, Ray?
Well, first of all, I think a six-race series is a fine idea, but you know, why not simplify it and just make it a three-race series? You could start with the Kentucky Derby and then move to the Preakness and then go to the Belmont Stakes, except put a little bit more space between all of those races. It seems to me that they're adding something, which is fine, but they're really taking away from what we already have, which is an exciting three-race series. It's, you know, 5 weeks now. I think the way the horsemen train now, 5 weeks is not realistic. You've got to space it out a little bit. But to me, look, Churchill Downs wanted to buy the intellectual property rights to the Preakness.
Yes.
And the state of Maryland stepped in and said, we have a right to match the offer, and we're going to do that. Would anybody really believe that if Churchill Downs had made that purchase, spent $85 million?
100% not.
Do you think that they would include that race in the series?
Yes.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
So, you know, why the Preakness is not part of this, why the three tracks couldn't get together, and come up with a better schedule for the Triple Crown. And then you could still have the year-end championship at Churchill Downs in September, whatever they're going to call that race. You know, except, you know, the Preakness instead of the Matt Wynn. You know, the other thing about this whole thing that I don't get, I understand why Churchill wants to do it, because they've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in seats and pavilions and all sorts and suites and things, and they only get to use those seats 2 days a year on Oaks and Derby Day. If they can create a big championship in September, that's another day that they can sell overpriced seats for a big day of racing. What does NYRA get out of this? It looks to me like NYRA will no longer have a horse going for the Triple Crown, which is when they have their biggest TV audiences. More people have watched the Belmont when the Triple Crown is on the line than have watched the Derby. It's, you know, it's a fact. They have more handle when there's a Triple Crown line. So they're losing the possibility, I think, of having a Triple Crown. You say, well, sure, you could still go to the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont, but they're incentivizing horsemen not to run in the Preakness by having this series. So it makes no sense to me. The Traverse is a huge day already. It's on TV. The Jim Dandy Stakes, which is the other New York race in this, is on Fox. So I'm not really sure what NYRA gains here.
I'm not sure about anything. I'll say this. I think it's good that we have people trying to come up with new ideas to inject more interest. Obviously, more purse money, a $5 million bonus. I think that's good, especially here in California, where we're seeing less and less and less for a variety of reasons. But to just deal the Preakness out of this hand, to me, as you've so capably pointed out, I don't know who is really going to be the winner here. And you know the Preakness, Ray. I told the audience what Mark Ratzke's thoughts were with me on the phone yesterday about them probably shopping some insurance companies and coming up with ways to incentivize people with a huge bonus. Say if you run in and then the Derby and then happen to win the Preakness, they've got to do something to up the enticement for people to come back in the Preakness, which is now going to be 3 weeks and a day after the Derby, Ray.
Yeah, that makes some sense. And the other thing to think about is the Belmont is going back to a mile and a half. It's been a mile and a quarter when it was run up at Saratoga the last 3 years. But so a lot of horses that go in the Derby, their trainers may be thinking, I don't want to go a mile and a half with this horse, especially if they don't win the Derby. So they may opt for the Preakness. The Preakness has come up really light on Derby horses in recent years, and you know that might change with some sort of a bonus tie-in. But really, the Triple Crown is what drives people into the sport. The Derby primarily, but then the Triple Crown, and they need to work on fixing the Triple Crown. I mean, instead of discarding it, it makes no sense whatsoever.
And the spacing, Ray. Looks to me like that's the way to fix it. And the Maryland Jockey Club, I think they thought they were kind of doing that, moving their race back a week and a day. But NYRA had other thoughts, obviously. I mean, now if you win the Derby and Preakness, boy, on May 23rd to wheel back at a mile and one half on June 5th at Belmont Park, that's just not a very palatable option.
Yeah, I've had... As you know, Fox was interested in getting the contract for the Preakness, the TV contract for the Preakness. NBC wanted. But, you know, my understanding is that Fox had said, look, if you go with us, maybe we can talk NYRA into pushing the Belmont back. And, you know, you'll have the Derby on the first Saturday in May. You'll have the Preakness 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks later. And then the Belmont 3 weeks after that. When Fox didn't get the contract, they went to NBC. That's when all of this seemed to come bubbling up, and you know the fact that Churchill and NYRA came out with their announcement the same week that Pimlico was set to announce its changes in its TV contract, you know, it's just smacks to me of one-upsmanship, and the three entities have to get along with each other, and right now they're not.
And Ray, if you can just kind of maybe lay out the kind of money that the Maryland Jockey Club has put up. First of all, you know, they got First Racing out of the situation. There was a deal cut there whereby, you know, First would retain rights to the Preakness for a period of time. They've committed, I think, $400 million to revitalizing a sorely run down Pimlico. They've got a ton of money invested already. How do things pencil out for the state of Maryland here?
Well, unlike California, Maryland has a governor who really values the horse industry and Pimlico.
Westmore, yeah,
Westmore, and you know, Gavin. I wish Gavin Newsom would talk to some of his fellow governors, like Andy Beshear in Kentucky or Kathy Hochul up in New York, or Westmore, to find out how.
Careful, we don't want to get in trouble with a certain racing commissioner here, Ray. I've experienced this. Yeah,
but you know, it's and the Preakness is a source of civic pride to Baltimore, and you know, it's going to be a big day, no matter what. Because Baltimore embraces the Preakness, and I think once, you know, once the destruction of the Preakness that we've seen over the last 10 years with, you know, it used to be the People's Party, and then it became the Rich People's Party. They need to get back to the Preakness being the People's Party. The city of Baltimore has always embraced it. You know, people come from the Mid-Atlantic area for that huge day. It's going to be on a Sunday, not on Memorial Day weekend this year, but it will be in the next few years. And Sunday night, after being at the Preakness all day, could mean a lot of people calling in sick the next day, I think.
Well, you're not advocating a return to that full court debauchery, which we kind of were getting to there with the Preakness in the infield. I mean, there was some wild scenes out there, Ray.
Well, there were, and there's no evidence that I was ever out. There's no photos or videos of me running on top of the of the outhouses, you know. But no, I mean, I think there's a compromise between the way it used to be, which they allowed people to bring in cases of beer, and that's not going to happen again.
No.
But I think they need to make the Preakness more accessible for the people of Baltimore, because it really is it's the city of Baltimore's race, and the governor supports it fully, like you said, a major investment.
Ray, you're pretty well familiar with all the players here. I think for 2027, everything's pretty much chiseled in stone. The television deals are set and so on. Do you think there's some wiggle room later on, maybe in 2028, where NYRA says, hey, you know what, let's go ahead and include MJC, the Maryland Jockey Club, and let's redo the timing on the Belmont and make the Preakness again part of this to ensure the continued viability of the branding of the Triple Crown, which a lot of people who don't even know a thing about racing, they know what the Triple Crown is, and that's why we had the story in the Wall Street Journal. I mean, this is a whole lot to consider. Do you think that's possible? Maybe they will reconsider down the line?
I hope so. The pushback has been enormous, not just the Wall Street Journal, the Athletic and the New York Times, CNN. All of the headlines don't say, you know, exciting new series scheduled for horse racing. They all say, is the Triple Crown dead? And that's not really a great start for NYRA and CDI. And if they think that this unnamed race in September is going to be bigger than the Kentucky Derby, they're delusional, because nothing will ever be bigger than the Derby.
No.
And in September, they're going to be going up against college football, pro football on Sundays. There's a lot going on. I look at golf. You know, golf has the FedEx Cup at the end of the year, and it has the lowest television ratings of all of the major tournaments. The Masters is still the big gorilla in golf. And the FedEx Cup is a nice thing, and it's great that they have a sponsor that's been with them for 20 years. But it's not as big as the U.S. Open. It's not as big as the Masters. And the same thing with this. This is not going to be bigger than the Derby.
Ray, appreciate your time. As you're talking, I can't help but think, can you imagine what a guy like Jack Whitaker, who was just a giant, in the broadcast business, a great writer as well, based in New York. Imagine what a guy like Jack Whitaker would say about this.
Well, or Jim McKay, who's a son of Maryland, and you know, and I think the first live TV broadcast ever was done with Jim McKay at Old Hilltop. So, yeah, I mean, it's I don't understand it. I don't know if they're trying to get leverage on the NJC, but it's not a very good look for Churchill Downs or for NYRA, especially because NYRA gets nothing out of this.
Ray Pollack, always appreciate your take, and this is a bit of a complex issue. That six-race series, incidentally, probably ought to run those races down. We're talking about the Derby, the Belmont, the Travers. Where would the Matt Wynn be?
The Matt Wynn is between the Belmont and the Jim Dandy, and then followed by the Traverse, and then the unnamed race in September.
Got it. Ray, thanks so much, and encourage people, go to the Pollack Report. Really appreciate it, Ray.
Take care, Mike. Thanks.
All right, next up, as always, Andy Harrington on behalf of National Turf. We'll get back talking about horse racing, cash in a bet here. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Excellent, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. Great seeing you and Gary Young the other morning down there. Really enjoyed the albeit very brief chat. How are things looking in the morning and compared to recent years? I think the tab was a little light on Wednesday, but just kind of fill us in.
This is sort of normal for Del Mar. You know, normally Del Mar this year, we're running 11 races, both Saturday and Sunday through the first couple weeks, and that took a lot out of the horse population. There's a bit of a lull in the middle, like this is the lull. The horses have been running, so they're not working. But usually what happens is the last 2 weeks are gangbusters around here. And I they've got enough horses. They've just been running a lot of them. Because in the past, generally, you know, they might run 9 on Sunday and 10 on Saturday, but they've had the horses, so I think their intention is, well, if we got them, we might as well run them. So that's why they've been doing that. But it has affected probably, you know, we only have 9 races here on Sunday today, and we had 10 yesterday, which is great. And I'm happy with a 9 race card. But there is a little bit of a bite out of the workout tab because of the amount of races we've been running.
Andy, did you see that massive effort from Hughes coming, trained by Bob Baffert, ridden by Juan Hernandez in yesterday's Grade 2 Best Pal? I mean, he won off by 7 3/4 lengths. Huge win.
Yeah, you know what? I thought it was him, the O'Neill, who broke slow. He is no lie. I thought they were both the two horses. I did not see a 7-length victory coming. On the other hand, the O'Neill did break 3 or 4 lengths behind the field and killed his best asset, which is speed. So maybe it would have changed it. I don't think Hughes was going to lose. Do I think he's a monster horse? No, I think he's a good horse. So, you know, I did not really see a 7-length victory coming, to be honest.
Just pass along the splits on that race. Yesterday's Best Pal at 6 furlongs, 22-4, 45-4, 57-4, final time 109-3. And the racetrack, it's certainly not as glib as it's been in past years.
No, I think it's been very consistent. I'm super happy with it. It seems about the same in the morning as it does in the afternoon. So, I mean, the biases which sometimes come in at Del Mar, inside, outside, you know, you can't win, everything's rally wide. To me, maybe people can correct me, I haven't seen a lot of that this meet. So consistency is what we're all after, and so I'm happy from that standpoint.
All right, make us all happy. Who do you like today on the 9 race card at Del Mar?
Well, let's go to the 4th race today. This is a 2-year-old maiden claiming $20,000. And, you know, to be honest with you, a little bit of talent goes a long way in races like this. And I think I have a horse that does have shown some ability in the morning. It's the 9 horse in here, Eleanor's Pick from the Paula Geary barn. The gate row on July 13th at Santa Anita threw a really neat middle quarter in, they galloped out solidly. In a faster than given time, it was 47. They gave it 49-2. Came back late for Julian Leperu, worked it out of the gate the other day and worked real easy. At 8-1 in this group, I think it's going to give a good account of itself. So we're going to go in the 4th race, the number 9, Eleanor's Pick from the Paula Geary barn.
Okay, terrific. And tell us what's up at nationalturf.com and all about your stuff.
Yeah, all the horses I give grades, good, bad, and in between, and they give you a little more information to take the track. So nationalturf.com.
Terrific. And race 4 today in the beginning. of the $2 pick six. And post time for the fourth, I'm looking for it real hard, Andy, is set for, it'll be 3:38 Pacific. Thanks so much, and good luck today.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, we're going to go ahead and hit this break. Coming back strong, heading to Las Vegas. Be checking in with Bruce Finkelstein on behalf of BetOnBruce.com. Bob Mazursky going for three wins in a row on air. And we're way late in the show, but I want to pass along congrats posthumously. Christophe Clement going into the Hall of Fame. Well, well deserved. Same thing for trainer John Sheriff. Such a great appreciator of what has transpired in this game over the years. It's just too bad John wasn't on hand at Saratoga, on Friday to take all that in. And condolences, family and friends, jockey Robbie Alvarado, one of the top riders of his era, no question about it. He won 5,222 races lifetime, passed away just a few days ago. He had stents put in, was having trouble with blood flow with the heart, and he passed on Tuesday, August 4th. Way too soon at age 52. Robbie Alvarado, rest in peace. Take a quick time out. Coming back strong. Go away.
In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
Angels Radio,
AM 830.
From conception to the starting gate, Legacy Ranch does it all. Located in the small town of Clements, Legacy Ranch sits on 145 beautifully manicured acres with lush paddocks for your mares and babies. The large pastures are irrigated year-round, and private paddocks are available too. Ranch manager Terry Knight is well known throughout California as a top-notch horseman and oversees the breaking and training of your young stock. The 5/8 mile training track is maintained to the highest standards under supervision of well-known track man Richard Tedesco and includes a starting gate and chute for gate workouts. Take a video tour of Legacy Ranch by going to LegacyRanchInc.com. Or better yet, farm owners Pete and Evelyn Perella invite you to schedule an in-person visit where you can meet Legacy Ranch Stallions Clubhouse Ride, Forbidden Kingdom, and Om, sire of Grade 2 Santa Margarita Stakes winner Om Enjoy. Get your young horses started the right way at Legacy Ranch. Contact Legacy Ranch at 510-928-4980 and start your journey to the winner's circle.
Breed to pure California speed as Legacy Ranch welcomes Forbidden Kingdom.
It's Forbidden Kingdom, dominant in the San Vicente.
This blazing fast son of American Pharaoh went wire to wire in every one of his victories.
What a performance from Forbidden Kingdom in the San Felipe.
Posting three Grade 2 wins on dirt and turf.
Forbidden Kingdom, resolute, turns away a big bit.
Breed to the speed of California speed. Forbidden Kingdom, now standing at Legacy Ranch.
Attention Inland Empire racing fans. Watching and wagering on the races just got easier. The Derby Room located at Fairplex Park is open and ready to serve you. Watch and wager in the newly renovated Derby Room on races across the country starting at 9 a.m. each Wednesday through Sunday. Televisions throughout the Derby Room will keep you up to date on all sporting events. Add in great food and a great atmosphere and you'll have the ultimate horse player experience. For upcoming promotions, go to thederbyroom.com. Thederbyroom.com. See you at the Derby Room, 2201 North White Avenue in Pomona. From Santa Anita to Del Mar, to key race meets around the country, Bruce Finkelstein's Bet on Bruce has you covered. Full card selections and featured races throughout the country available every racing day at betonbruce.com. Get advice on multi-wager ticket structures and improve your return on investment with Bruce Finkelstein's betonbruce.com. Bet on experience. BetOnBruce.com.
From Hawaii's Big Island, nature has given us Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee, derived from a naturally occurring coffee bean that is only found in this precise altitude and climatic setting. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee ensures a perfect start to your day or any cherished moment from sunup to sundown. Every treasured coffee bean is the result of nearly 4 years of nurturing on the 57-acre family farm in the mountains above Halu'aloha, Hawaii. And unlike many other coffee beans from the Big Island, Uncle Chemo's is estate grade and hand roasted. This means all beans are grown, picked, roasted, and packaged on the farm to ensure the beans are the most balanced and as rich in flavor as possible. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee is now available on the mainland. To place an order, please visit UncleChemo'sKonaCoffee.com and look for our logo on the track and in the winner's circle, along with leading writer Juan Hernandez. Fans, visit our website and you can see for yourself that Uncle Chemo's emanates from a true island paradise. Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee, you can taste the aloha.
Hi everybody, this is Juan Hernandez. If you want to break out of the gate fast like I do every morning, do what I do. Have a cup of Uncle Chemo's Kona Coffee. Uncle Chemo's, you'll be glad you did.
Tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night.
And welcome back. Chris Monreal, once again, very much in evidence here. A programming reminder, Angels got an early start time today from Florida, 10:30 game time here on AM 830 in the Angels radio app. And that means Angels warm-up with Trent Rush coming your way right at the top of the hour, so we got to be out a couple of minutes early today. Got plenty of time for Bruce Finkelstein in Las Vegas, Nevada, on behalf of BetOnBruce.com. Bruce, hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hanging in. Boy, a lot going on in this game. Plenty to talk about, huh?
It was great to see Sovereignty back, wasn't it? I got to say, he's a fan favorite. He's a Derby winner.
He's a champion. He's a true champion.
You know, it's kind of the old-fashioned way of training. I don't know that Bill Mott had him at his best for his first two races. Sort of Charlie Whittingham-esque, wouldn't you say? He doesn't squeeze the lemon dry at all, and I have a hunch this horse is going to keep progressing through the Breeders' Cup. So, wow, that was an explosive win by him, and it was great to see.
By the way, I got a text from John White, longtime line maker at Santa Anita and so much more. He said that Sovereignty knocked down a 112 buyer in winning the Grade 1 Whitney yesterday. And, boy, anybody who saw that, they're not surprised by that.
Yeah, he really was back. I don't know if that was by choice or not, but he really did look like he was kind of lingering down the backstretch, and once he got in gear, it was like a Jekyll and Hyde horse yesterday. He was plodding and going backwards, and all of a sudden it's like the light bulb turned on and see you later. That was huge.
And I mean, the filly ran great. She really did, Bruce.
Oh yeah. That was
Nitrogen.
A gallant race.
Yeah.
That was a good field, and she really hung her out. That was a great effort out of Nitrogen. You know, I was a little bit skeptical going in, but, boy, she loves Saratoga, Mike. And so maybe that may be the reason. I think she had won all three races. She had some huge number coming in. So that was – I got to give the owner and trainer credit for giving that a try. And, boy, I think that pays off, Mike. I think – is she worth a little more as a broodmare now? Probably.
Yes.
Right?
Hey, listen, we haven't rehearsed this, but is the Preakness – is it salvageable? What do you think?
I think it will be, because I think this is going to lay an egg. I really do. Churchill Downs is really kind of piggish in their approach to racing. They don't care. I don't know that they care about any other racetracks other than Churchill Downs' own racetracks. Look at the investment that was put forth by Maryland to rebuild that racetrack.
Yes.
The Triple Crown, that's what the public, the casual fans are what watch these Triple Crown races, not all racing diehards. And here's the thing. When you develop this new series, Mike, what do you think the ratings will be for the Matt Wynn, a race that most people have never heard of at Churchill Downs, and an unnamed September race?
Nil.
right? Just my opinion. I think it's going to lay an egg, and we've seen this before through the years. I don't think it's going to take off at all, and I don't think all these three-year-old wants to run in that many races in that short a period of time anyway, in a condensed period of time. So I think it will recover, but maybe might have a lean year or two. I'm more curious to see, is the Belmont just going to stay where it is right now? Because it might have ruined two races in a way, right, Mike?
Wow.
I don't know that, right?
Huh. Yeah. Well, so, you know, Bob Baffert's one guy. He's on record saying, and of course, here's a guy that won two triple crowns in a short period of time, American Pharoah in 15 and in 18 would justify. And, you know, it hadn't been done in a long time. He said if he happens to win the Derby, that's a huge two-letter word. If he does, he's running in Maryland. So there's one guy, but I think.
But the question is now, what happens to that horse that wins the Preakness now? If you win the first two legs,
I know.
Is there enough recovery time now to run at a mile and a half?
Well,
13 days later.
That's so why when anybody involved with a new series says, "Oh no, we didn't intend to do it." Now wait a minute, come on.
I think the Triple Crown, you know, they really should be a team effort. All three tracks.
Yeah. Well, we have no commissioner, and here's a glaring case in point. So,
and the Triple Crown is what everybody loves, and it's not this new look, this newfangled series. And I think John was mentioning, why don't we get a series with older horses while we're at it? You know, instead of we have the spotlight maybe too much on three-year-olds. Maybe we should be creating something for the older horses.
Okay.
To keep them as stars, right?
Grist for the conversational mill down the line. Right now, let's make some money. Where do you want to go out of town, Bruce?
Let's do it. Let's get to the brass tacks, Mike. Let's go to the seventh race at Saratoga. Expensive maiden claimers. I like the comebacker here for Wesley Ward, number six, Cara Fior. She was a pretty competitive one-turn mile at Aqueduct in the fall and winter. She had a good second-place finish on debut. She's coming off a layup. I love the drop-in against expensive maiden claimers. Wesley Ward does an excellent job with first-time acquisitions. I think this horse could be a good fit, and the price shouldn't be terrible. So race seven at Saratoga, Cara Fior at 9-2 on the morning line.
And post-time for race seven, Saratoga, 4:34 Eastern. Good nine race card today here at Del Mar. A heck of a feature race. What do you make of it, Bruce?
The feature race or the race I like today, Mike?
Well, go to your race. I'm sorry.
Let's go. Okay. I think the favorites are going to probably dominate that stakes race today. But let's go to the third race, Mike. These are allowance horses. These are fillies at a mile. And have we seen how well the East Coast shippers have done over the years, several years coming into Southern California? And I think it's going to continue. I like a horse that Phil D'Amato takes over here, the four, Memorize. This was a pretty darn good prospect. If you go back to September at Aqueduct, she won despite being squeezed at the start, and she kind of had a horse leaning on her in the stretch. I thought she was very impressive breaking maiden in September. Last out, she made a right. She's not great at the gate. She made a right-hand turn at the start, Mike. She was bumped pretty good. She might have even hit the side of the gate. She ended up finishing fifth at Keeneland behind a horse that turned out to be a stakes winner by the name of Sister Troyanne. Better than looked after that day. She's gone to the sidelines, now trained by Phil D'Amato. Mike, she's been working on the grass, which is great to see. I've seen all three of her works on grass online, and she's looked very good in her grass workouts at Del Mar. I think she's well spotted here. Look for it to be coming from off the pace. Race three, let's go for the new face of the four, Memorize, listed at 4-1.
And post for race three, pardon me, Bruce, at Del Mar, 3:04 Eastern, or pardon me, 3:04 Pacific. And tell us what's up at betonbruce.com.
The two racetrack combo platter. We have the full card at Del Mar with the last seven at Saratoga. Audio is included. Best place today at Del Mar, also at all at betonbruce.com.
Bruce, always a lot of fun. Good luck today.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Now Bob Mazursky next up. You can catch his full graded handicap and Bob's morning line in all the Southern California News Group papers. Speaking of those papers, Bob, happy to report I got the Orange County Register in hand, and they have the full charts, full results. You're graded handicap just like normal. So that's great news for players down here. Did we lose Bob?
No, that's great to hear.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, Bob, I noted earlier you've had two winners on air recently. Miss Mandalay last Sunday at 780 and Fabinici's Ride a couple of weeks ago. That came back $7 even. So looking for the hat trick today at Del Mar.
I'm going to go to the fifth race. I like number 8, Daniel's Magic, for Craig Galassi and Armando Ayuso. They had a winner yesterday with Code Duello. This horse comes off a win at night against Project Leader, who's a very speedy horse, does very well at nighttime. He's won a ton of races at night. Now he's stretching out to the 5 furlongs on the grass. He's a 2-time winner over the Del Mar Turf, so I think he can win from slightly off the pace, number 8, Daniel's Magic, in race 5.
Okay, Daniel's Magic, Armando Ayuso, Craig DeLossi. Craig had a nice winner yesterday, and Ayuso, he rolls on. He had a double yesterday, more than holding his own on a year-round basis here in Southern California. Race 5 goes at 4:10 Pacific. And, Bob, always want to point out your stuff's also available at todaysracingdigest.com.
That is true. Selections every day in Southern California.
All the best, Bob. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right, we'll hit our final break. And coming back strong, heading to South Florida, checking in with Toby Callett. Take 2 with Jonathan Hardoon from Saratoga Springs. This is Thoroughbred LA.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
It's another huge weekend of nighttime racing action at Los Alamitos. Get ready to cash in on night racing's best bets all weekend long, featuring our popular early and late pick 4 wagers and the traditional pick 6. And remember, we'll add $10,000 of new money to the pick 6 pool this Sunday night if there isn't a carryover. The pick 6 promotional pools often reach the $70,000 mark. Our pick 6 pools have hit historic figures this season, including a record $700,000 total pool on June 7th. And racing fans, make your plans now to join us for more stakes racing action this month. The Claiming Futurity on August 16th, the Sgt. Pepper feature on August 22nd, and the Grade 1 Go Man Go on August 23rd. It's great quarter horse racing action every weekend at Los Alamitos. For Vessels Club reservations, call 714-820-2681. Or join us at Burgart Sports Bar. The best of racing is always at Los Alamitos. Our races start shortly after the final race from Del Mar.
Hello, I'm Alan Mosna, Toyota of Orange. For over 48 years, we've said you won't get a lemon at Toyota of Orange. That means you're driving a reliable Toyota. It also means you're getting a best deal on every new Toyota in stock. We're talking RAV4, Camry, Tacoma, Corolla, you name it. How have we stayed number one all these years? By turning lemons into oranges. Toyota of Oranges.
Well, you won't get a lemon from Toyota of Orange. Well, you won't.
Folks, life is about family, friends, and the unforgettable experiences we enjoy together. If you are considering the Hawaiian Islands for that special vacation, a wedding, or perhaps a corporate outing, visit HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com and you can see for yourself what this tremendous new venue located on the island of Hawaii has to offer. When you settle in at the Halualoha Garden and Kitchen, the breathtaking view of the Kona Coast adds a touch of enchantment far, far removed from the everyday stresses and strains of life on the mainland. Nestled on the slopes of the majestic Halu'aloha volcano, this venue offers guests a remarkable combination of Polynesian dining along with striking natural beauty and world-renowned island charm. With a top-notch chef and a fresh farm-to-kitchen approach, you'll experience island dining that is truly out of this world. Visit our website, HalualohaGardenAndKitchen.com, or call 307-461-1450 for complete details, and get ready for the experience of a lifetime at Halu'aloha Garden and Kitchen.
Hey everybody, if you love pizza, and who doesn't, I've got the place for you. It's Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne at the southwest corner of Foothill Boulevard and D Street next to Stater Brothers. They've got freshly baked, delicious pizza at the best prices you'll find anywhere. Speaking of pricing, check out their hot and ready menu, which includes hot and ready Caesar wings, whole pizza, by the slice, crazy bread, Italian cheese bread, save a taco, eat a pizza at Doug and Daniel O'Neill's Little Caesars Pizza in Laverne.
This segment is brought to you by the Bit Tavern in South Arcadia, just off the corner of 10th and Live Oak. Beer me at the Bit.
This song, take me as I come, cause I can't stay long.
And welcome back. Final segment, Thoroughbred Los Angeles. Hey, listen, folks, if you live in the San Gabriel Valley or thereabouts, if you have plumbing issues, if you suspect maybe you got something going on, a slow drain, what have you, I cannot recommend my good friends at Western Rooter strongly enough. Family-owned for more than four decades. They're based in Arcadia, a commercial residential. I can tell you from multiple personal experiences, you're never going to beat the job they do. They are on time and under budget. Go to their website, westernrooter.com. You're going to see nearly 500 five-star reviews. You can give them a call 24-7 year-round, 626-648-5499. Hey, if you mention Thoroughbred LA Radio, they're going to knock 10% off your total invoice. Owned by Larry and John Batala, along with Mike and Jenny Glenn, Western Rooter, the best in the West. And the best in the Southeast joins us right now. His name's Toby Khaled from South Florida, in fact. Hey, Toby, good morning.
Thanks for the kind words, Mike. How are you?
Good. I want to get right to it. Is the Preakness salvageable, and is it worth saving?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too much into the politics because you have spoken about that with previous guests, and they've really summed it up quite well. We really don't know. The bottom line is, you know, you talk about horses, you know, skipping in recent years, skipping the Preakness. You know, that's an ownership decision, and I applaud the owners and the connections in those cases. But people have short memories. There was a 25-year gap between a horse by the name of Citation and a horse by the name of Secretary
yep.
in winning a Triple Crown. So, and that's when the breed was strong, and that's one of my points to make, is that the breed has weakened, and it's weakened to such a point that I would challenge anybody, whether it be NYRA, CDI, any of your listeners, you, or you know any of your capable guests, to go ahead and take a look at, say, the last 10 Kentucky Derbies and count the number of horses that ran in the Derby that then won again. Count the number of horses that maybe never raced again. You will find out that if you want to now host a six-race series and you have to compete in four of those in order to be eligible for that bonus, I think it's a moot point to say 2 weeks between the Derby and Preakness and then 3 weeks from the Preakness to the Belmont. Now you want somebody to compete in four out of six races on different racetracks. We don't know, like you spoke about Sovereignty. He caught a different kind of wet track in his last start at Churchill. He didn't run so well. And people said, well, wait a minute, he won the Derby on a wet track. You know as well as most qualified guys, one wet doesn't equate to a second wet. So you have all these variables and all of these things that have gone on through the years that I don't think that it's a legitimate thing to ask a horse to run in six races or four of the six races. And I don't think that it's going to do anybody any good unless you do win the bonus and the like. It certainly isn't going to help the game. It isn't going to help the exposure. So from my standpoint, I mean, you look at last year's Derby, Sovereignty. How long did it, you know, after the Belmont, the Derby in Belmont, how long did it take him to get back to the races, much less win again? Journalism, he kept slugging it out. His tough a horse, danced all the dances there were. Well, guess what? His career got cut short. Baeza, except for the Pennsylvania Derby. Now this poor guy, he must really miss John Sheriff's would be the only thing I figure, because now he doesn't even want to leave the gate. Burnham Square, who finished fifth in the Derby, it took a switch to the turf to for him to find his greatness. Well, there were 19 runners in last year's Derby. I mentioned a fraction of which that have done anything of note since.
Yeah.
It took some of these horses until 2026, till the calendar turned, to make it back to the races. But now you want to run six of them in a few months? Good luck.
So, I mean, to boil it down, you're saying this new deal is DOC, dead on conception.
Well, it's dead on conception from the equine standpoint. And I dare anybody, that, again, of your capable guests or the people out there listening that are big racing fans, I've made a good living thanks to the four-legged creature. That's the horse. The first radio show I ever did was in South Florida some years back, and they had callers. And the guy called. He said, "Well, I love Pat Day." It's like, well, okay. Who's Pat Day riding? I don't know. I said, well, when the four-legged guy gets on Pat Day's back, we'll talk about Pat Day. Until that point, and Mike, this is 32 years ago.
Yeah.
So I remember it like it was yesterday, because the fact is that every one of us on the air here, we have made a living, or whatever success we've had, it's thanks to the horse.
100%. Yeah.
And if you're going to ignore what the equine species is capable of, or what you're going to push them to, you're going to find out that it isn't going to be what all the numbers and all the figures, or all the broken hearts because of losing a bid, you know, to have the Preakness and Maryland exercise their right. All of that stuff is baloney. The fact of the matter is that if you're thinking about the horse and you want him, and you want to box it in to a six race series in a limited amount of time, you will see short fields. You will see non-competitive races. Mm-hmm. But it's going to trickle down to something that will be a big fat zero.
All right, let's shift gears here quickly. Nine of them at Gulfstream today. Can we make some money?
In the ninth, we're going with the one intricacy. One over the 5-2-3. It could be all you and me. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, post time for race 9, Gulfstream, 4:44 Eastern. Thanks so much, Toby. We say hello for the second time to Jonathan Hardoon of the Rags and Sheets in Saratoga Springs, New York. Hey, John, what's up?
All right, Mike, let's look at the seventh race today at Del Mar, 5 furlongs on the turf. And I like a price horse in here, right, Mike. Number one, Kristen McCullough, for 3-year-old filly from the Steve Miotti barn. This horse ran on the turf twice. There were 6.5 furlongs at Santa Anita. I get it. It's a completely different game. But I think this race is going to set up well. I think there's enough early speed. 12-1 on the morning line. Antonio Frasu aboard to ride. Number one, Krista McAuliffe upsets and wins today's seventh race out at Del Mar.
Owned and bred by Nick Alexander. And after the show, I'm going to have to go to the Wikipedia and find out who the aforementioned Krista McAuliffe might be, John.
I was going to do it, but I figured I was listening to Toby, and I enjoyed listening to Toby because he's right.
He is
so right. This is a nothing burger. They're going to be sorry that they did this, believe me.
John, I mean, as you know, they're all individuals. We're talking about horses. To expect top horses to run 4 times out of 6 in a 5-month period, It's a very, very, very tough thing. And all
how are you going to sell it, Mike? You have the dirt. You have the Triple Crown. You don't have to sell it. That's there for them. Take it. Nope, not good enough.
As everybody's been talking, can you imagine? I'm here at the Big A. By the way, Trent Rush straight ahead at 10 o'clock. Angels warm up. And then we're going to have Terry Smith, Mark Langston, producer-engineer Jorge Sevilla with Angels Baseball from Florida at 10:30. Could you imagine if they eliminated the prospect of a Triple Crown and they said, no, that doesn't mean anything anymore. We're going to award the guy who has the best wins above replacement value at the end of the – can you imagine that? Or another one of these
– I still don't know what war is. No. I know more about baseball than a lot of people.
My high school baseball coach, a guy named Rick Hayes, great coach. I'm still in touch with him. He said, what about RBI? Runs batted in, you know?
They don't care about strikeouts anymore. Strikeouts, go ahead. Strikeout, it doesn't matter. An out's an out. They don't get it.
Well, now, wait a minute. We do around here. We finally designated for assignment one Jorge Soler. Anyway, the seventh race today, number one, Krista McAuliffe, 12-1, Antonio Frasu for Steve Miotti. And tell us about JONHARDOON.com.
Three best plays, $10. Full car, $25. Today we have Saratoga and Del Mar. And Monday, special racing out at Gulfstream. You can get selections this afternoon.
John, it's always a lot of fun, man. Have a great day. Appreciate it. My thanks to Chris Monreal. Angels baseball, straight ahead, everybody.
You've been listening to Thoroughbred Los Angeles, brought to you by Little Joe's Fresh Mex and the Bit Tavern in South Arcadia. Great food and ice cold beer 7 days a week.